It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Cody Besson. Cody is with Plains Cotton Growers, joins us in just a moment. First off, Dr. Mark Chekanowski is chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board.
This month, we raised our price forecasts really for all of the major products, cheese, butter, non-fat, dry milk, and dry whey. And with those higher product prices, that feeds directly into higher class prices, which feeds into the higher all milk prices. So for 2025, we raised our all milk price forecast by 35 cents per hundredweight, now forecast at $21.95 per hundredweight. And for 2026, we raised our all milk price forecast by 15 cents per hundredweight, currently forecast at $21.30 per hundredweight. So down just a bit, down about 65 cents per hundredweight year over year.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Cody Besson. Cody is CEO of Lubbock-based Plains Cotton Growers. And Cody, we start our conversation off today with pretty much all of the cotton that's going to be planted in the ground at this point, pretty much nationwide. So what does it look like in that largest cotton growing region of the U.S.?
So we're fully past all the planting deadlines. There's still some practical to replant deadlines down in the southern portion of the Plains Cotton Grower Service area. There's some people kind of hit or miss filling up some gaps in regard to spots they're trying to fill in. On a positive note, we have had some timely rain this last night and then the previous week as well. Fortunately, our temperature conditions are subsiding a little bit, so we're not at this 100 plus degree days like we saw a week or so ago. We're coasting around that 90 degrees, which is amicable for this time of year. Hopefully we'll be able to continue to move forward on that same type of growing conditions. As far as the crop conditions overall, it's kind of a smorgasbord. You know, we did have some hailstorms that came through in the last couple of weeks that did sporadically take out some crops. As you get kind of to the southern portion of Lubbock, as well as to the west, as you get kind of to the east of Lubbock, just for point of reference, some of that growing condition is still in very good shape. They've had timely rains, adequate subsoil moisture as they went into the growing season. They did receive some of that hail that came through the area a couple of weeks ago, so there's a couple of spots there that are certainly looking at trying to revive that crop or going to alternative-based crops as they have adjusters come out to take a look at it. As you get further north, going from Plainview north, we are seeing less acres in that region just in general. A lot of that's being driven by just cropping conditions in general, available water use efficiency, and then also just a competitiveness against other crops when it compares to marketing prices as you move further north. So we're probably going to see a couple hundred thousand acres less in our service area in the Northern Territory. But overall, it's looking fairly good. Growing stages vary from a cod leading stage from its infancy all the way to some that are six to seven true leaf, depending on where they're at and how early that crop got put in. So it really is a lot of variation in the crop. Statewide overall, if you get down in South Texas, I talked to some of our friends down there here the other day, and their cotton is looking really pretty. Anywhere from bloom to match head square, depending on where they're at. Down there, they're sitting pretty as far as their cropping conditions go in that regard. So kind of stay tuned. We'll see how the rest of this year pans out, but we're off to the races. We're very optimistic because we need to have a really solid crop year for everyone, for the producers, for infrastructure itself, because it's been a tough couple of years to swallow just for the challenging conditions we've been faced with due to Mother Nature. And hopefully she'll continue to play ball this year.
We're talking with Cody Besson of Plains Cotton Growers on the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Cody Besant with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. Largest cotton-producing region in really around the world is in that Texas Southern High Plains region. Now, we know that there are safety nets for producers, but what about infrastructure? Is there anything for them?
Great question. There are a couple of available options today in the near term. Some have looked at a small business administrative loan. That's something that's available today. There is some privatized insurance that infrastructure can take a look at and certainly use. Unfortunately, some of that is just unattainable from a pricing mechanism. And so industry as a whole is working to address that. It's not quite for public availability yet because it's still in the works, but industry is working on some new risk management tools that we believe will be very helpful to infrastructure. Also in the near term too, something that we're excited about, very proud of, is the implementation of House Bill 43 that Representative Kitzman carried in the State House, our Texas legislature. Senator Sparks carried it on the Senate side. And essentially what it would do is it would increase the availability of a low interest loan to producers, but also agricultural businesses. And so a gin or a warehouse or any other type of infrastructure type based segment will qualify for this. In addition to that, and something that people will have some interest in, is increasing grant opportunities as well. This used to be only available to producers themselves, and you had to be of a restrictive age to qualify. All that has been opened up and will be available to not just producers of any age, but also agricultural businesses. So you have a grant program as well as a low interest loan program that will be implemented in the coming months following appointees that need to be secured, as well as a rulemaking process through the Texas Department of Agriculture. That's a huge win. It's one of the largest investments in the agricultural industry that we've seen in probably 40 years. So it's so incredible that our state house, both the Senate and House of Representatives, as well as the governor himself, were able to make this type of investment. And it was such a cool project to work on this session that producers and industry alike will be very proud of and be able to tap into and utilize here in the coming months.
Yeah. Again, we talk about normally whenever we're talking about assistance on the ag side, we're talking at a federal level, but this is a state program. Are you aware of any other states that have this type of program? Was this based on any other programs from other states, or is this one that was really developed in Texas?
There's some that have a loan program, but nothing of the significant value that I'm aware of that our state house was able to do. Moreover, nor do they have a grant program of such a significant value. So the grants, by example, were elevated to up to $500,000 in max capacity, which is a very significant amount. And then the overall funding mechanism for it is about $100 million is what's being allocated through the appropriation side. So it's a really unique lead and charge that Texas was able to muster up and do. And hopefully other states will maybe mimic that to be able to have some preservation and other programs that folks can tap into whenever they're financially in need, which is where we have been for the last couple of years, absent having a farm bill put in place. And I'm just proud of the fact that the ag industry stepped up and they're really taking care of producers and agricultural businesses alike.
Yeah, again, you can grow the crop, but if you don't have some way to process it and take it past the raw product and get it to where it's you can sell it, you're kind of up a creek without a paddle. And we mentioned the federal side of this. There's a lot of work going on for ag producers in Congress. We hear of a big, beautiful bill. Does that have some good programs, needed programs that producers need to keep an eye on?
Absolutely. So we do have this big, beautiful bill that's moving its way through now the Senate. It's moved its way through the House. There are some key provisions that industry has been working on for well over 3 to 4 years now to make our farm safety net essentially just more relevant for the times and cost of doing business today. Our previous safety net that we've been operating underneath, is a good format. Unfortunately, it just doesn't meet the current cost of doing business. And so the improvements that have been at least incorporated in the original House mark that G.T. Thompson was able to shepherd, and now on the Senate side with Senator John Bozeman and the budget reconciliation process, makes increases to our reference price to a more nominal level for Title I. It also makes improvements to the marketing assistance loan that we rely pretty heavily on as a cotton industry, as well as making some significant increases and enhancements to the crop insurance program for risk management tools for producers and others to utilize for better risk management to help preserve the agriculture industry in a time of peril and need, especially as we continue to experience challenges with Mother Nature, be it hurricanes or, in our case, droughts or hailstorms, other perils that we continue to experience. And the goal ultimately is to continue to implement these final stages of our ad hoc programs that we've seen. So the economic assistance program that's being continued to play out through the middle of August, through disaster related assistance for the 23-24 crop year, to shore all of that up, finalize that out, and then have these true enhancements for a long-term farm safety net. So the goal would be to not have the need or necessity for ad hoc programs like we've had to depend upon absent a farm bill being enacted. And so there's a lot of momentum going forward with it. We'll continue to watch and monitor how the reconciliation process plays out. While there is some discussions going on with the parliamentarian on rules and what can actually be made germane and held out going through the process, I do feel very good, at least as far as the true farm bill provisions for actual producers and the farm safety net in general are in very good shape at this point. So, but stay tuned. Industry has been very aggressive and very strategic in how we do this, as well as leaning into the support of the administration, which they have been very good to work with as well, and trying to shepherd this process to its final stage and implement it for the new crop year.
We're talking with Cody Besant of Plains Cotton Growers on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Cody Besant, CEO, Lubbock-based Plains Cotton Growers. All right, Cody, if we want to keep up with PCG, where do we find you?
You can, plainscotton.org, or you can follow us on social media outlets like Facebook or Instagram, or certainly always call us, come see us. Reach out to us anytime that we could be of assistance. And there's a lot of unique things coming. The industry has been challenged for the last couple of years, but there's honestly a lot of really unique assistance that's in the works, and some that is very forthcoming in the near term as well. That's much needed, but also to a lot of effort has been put into it to craft it in a manner that's very meaningful to producers and infrastructure alike.
Cody Besant is CEO, Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock, online, plainscotton.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The aftermath of a weekend derecho in the Northern Plains and Upper Great Lakes region. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
With winds of 80 to 100 miles per hour, there was a lot of infrastructural damage. Trees were just blasted flat in some cases, snapped off. We had some damage to farm buildings and homes as the derecho ripped across.
In addition, numerous reports of large hail associated with the derecho.
That hail could be significantly damaging to agriculture. We did see some reports of at least 3-inch diameter hail across North Dakota and a couple of counties in northern South Dakota, with reports that there was some damage to some spring wheat fields, some barley fields, and just that battering of hail also causing some damage to buildings as well as automobiles.
Rippey adds a combination of extreme heat with tropical moisture wrapping around it, plus northern jet stream energy, were the climatic factors behind the derecho event. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C. See?